The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
I'd like you to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5 and 6. I'll actually start by reading two passages, one from Galatians 6, but the other also from John chapter 15, which we considered at an earlier chapel, but just like to draw us back to some of the imagery and some of the analogies that John gives us that tie in well with Galatians. So we'll be looking at these a little more fully through the next few minutes. John chapter 15 and then Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. John 15, 1 to 9 say this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. And also from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. That's what the Apostle Paul writes. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. Even though we've been going through these texts, the fruit of the Spirit, and the different analogies of Scripture that talk about our Christian life, the Christian ministry of one that parallels an agricultural context, I feel like in some ways we're just scratching the surface on what this text before us, what Galatians chapter 5 and 6 start to unpack for us. Just again to give a little bit of approach to this today, to read some of the context from Galatians chapter 6 back in chapter 5. Not necessarily the fruit of the Spirit, but actually before the fruit of the Spirit, where Paul gives us this diagnosis of our hearts, that without Christ, we tend to go down these two extremes. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, I'll read these, where Paul commands us not to fall into a lifestyle that can, I would summarize, as Christless legalism. Chapter 5 of Galatians says this, for freedom, Christ has set you free. So that's the great news of the gospel. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to each man who accepts circumcision, he is obliged to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. See, within this broader context, as we have been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, that when we get there, we understand that some of the reason that Paul is writing this is because at this church, there were those who were saying you need Christ and the law. Paul writes here as saying, you have been given this freedom in Christ, but it's not to take Christ and something else. So as to put yourself back under this yoke of slavery, not to put human wisdom, human rules, human regulations on the same level as the gospel of Christ. So Paul reminds his readers that as they approach the fruit of the Spirit, to not, again, bind yourself to these human regulations and laws. Also, he cautions them as well in chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, that this freedom of the gospel is not just a freedom to do whatever you would like to do. Read with me, if you will, chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. It says this, "For you were called to freedom, brothers," very similar to how he starts the other section, "only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by each other." See, our hearts marred by sin tend to go down these well-worn paths very, very easily, which is trying to find some other way, Christ and something else, to get me through the day. Or to say, Christ has given me this great freedom, now I can live however I want. Indeed, Paul says, no, there's this third way of the gospel that is greater and more freeing than either of these two options. It's by the renewing power of the Holy Spirit, so that we now, as we've been looking at over the past number of weeks, now produce His fruit for what the Spirit is doing in us for the glory of the triune God. From these verses, from this quick overview, quick recapitulation, I'd like to just focus on three final thoughts as we've been looking at this. And the first one is this, is as we look at these verses, particularly John chapter 15, Galatians 6, within the context of chapter 5, with the fruit of the Spirit, and now with this idea of sowing and reaping, is this. First, as you tend to your heart, as you tend to your heart much like a garden, to have a gospel-centered self-evaluation, to have Christ and His purposes in your heart. One of the first things that we did to start this series was look at the parable of the sower, and we looked at how the field is really the reception of the Word of God or the non-reception, and how whether the ground is willing to receive it, it has been prepared, or whether the ground does not. Of course, we know that God is the one who plows this, and the Holy Spirit does do this. But we also know that gardens and paths that are not taken care of do not produce fruit. And so what the call that Paul gives us within this context of what Christ has done for us is to look at our own hearts and to have this idea of self-evaluation. This is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. He even commands them, "Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." This is the picture of someone who does not critically evaluate himself in light of what Scripture says. But this is what Paul says in verse 4, "But let each one test his own work, and then by this reason to boast, and he will be in himself and not by his neighbor." So in other words, it will be not comparing ourselves to others, but what God is doing in our own hearts. John 15, verse 6 says this, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away, like a branch that withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." For those who are preparing for ministry, for you here, whether it's through counseling or preaching or whatever other area that God would have you to be in, beware. Don't stop self-evaluating yourself of how you stand in the gospel. This is not a call to doubt your salvation, but just to say, are my actions, are my thoughts, are all that I'm doing, are they in conformity with this freedom that Paul has been talking about in Galatians 5 and 6? Is it that, or am I using that, as Paul says elsewhere, as a cover-up for evil, to do my own thing, to go down those well-worn paths of my heart? maybe even to the point of losing sensitivity. See, those of us who've been in ministry for a while, and we've seen it often, is that people start out strong, but the gospel keeps us close to Him and His purposes so that we are sensitive to what God is sensitive about, so that we are self-examining ourselves to say, what is it in my life that needs to change, that needs to be brought to the foot of the cross? The second thing is this, is that this principle of sowing and reaping is that we need to be shaped by holiness and in holiness by all that we do. Galatians 6:7 puts it this way, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. To be sure, in some sense, there's this eschatological component here, that it's the end of time, that there is this ultimate sowing and reaping that will be brought to fruition at the final harvest. However, don't lose sight of the fact that this big picture reality is determined by the little choices that we make day in and day out. A very familiar passage that we read here often in the counseling classes is Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20, which say this. Verse 16 says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. You see, this idea of sowing and reaping is something that happens daily, in a sense. That as we are confronted with our own sinful hearts and our need of the gospel, either we cling to Christ or we try to live our lives in our own strength and in our own power. Sowing and reaping also gives the idea that there are certain weeds, if you will, to use the analogy of the garden, certain weeds to take care of and eradicate. Otherwise, it will overrun the garden. One image that has always stuck with me, and I even forget where I heard it. I know I heard it long ago, maybe perhaps even in junior high school, that if you plan for a bountiful garden, if you plan for a great crop, don't have an area in your garden where you just kind of raise weeds, because those weeds will eventually take over and infest the rest of the garden. So it is with our hearts. You know, are there areas in our hearts even now that we know we need to deal with, but perhaps we're saying, well, we'll deal with it later, or maybe I'll deal with it after seminary? My challenge to you is this, is that this process of holiness, this process of weeding out those areas in our lives that we need to confront and deal with, needs to start now in seminary. To do this daily, holy living that Paul commands us to do. The sowing and reaping principle is very important. And finally, that we prepare for a harvest of fruit, the fruit that will last, not just temporary fruit, but fruit of eternal value. Paul says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season if we reap, we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And in John 15:16, Jesus says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Even now, in the demands of seminary, as we approach exams, as we approach papers, as we are in the thick of life at the end of the semester, as well as in ministry, you will be constantly tempted to give in to the tyranny of the urgent, to do those things that have a deadline, to do those things that are pressing in upon you. And the important things, the daily walking with God, the daily communing, the daily self-examination of your heart and your actions, not only what you say, but how you say it. Those little interactions could be pushed to the side. But those indeed are what's truly important, to see how we are walking with our Lord and Savior. So don't forget that. Don't lose this idea of the fruit that will last. Don't sacrifice that for the daily urgent things, the short term. So as we enter into this time of the end of the semester, just be reminded of these things, that as we tend to our hearts, to have a gospel-centered self-evaluation, again, not doubting our salvation, but saying, is my life in conformity to this great freedom that Christ has called me to. To remember this principle of sowing and reaping. To be shaped by holiness in all that we say and do. And third, to prepare for this harvest fruit. This fruit that will last for eternity. Again, not for our glory, not that we can say, look at how big my basket of fruit is. But to say it's all because of what Jesus has done, and it's for his glory. Let's pray. Father, would you impress upon our hearts our need of you, our need of daily coming to you, and looking at our hearts that are so needy and crying out to you that you would come in and expose the weeds, expose the areas that need to change, that our hearts would always be sensitive to your Spirit, and that through us, through the ministries that we're in now, through the ministries that you are preparing for us to do, that you would do this great work, that you would draw men, women, and children to you for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.